Ah, hello there. This is Sven Gulli from Meat TV, and you're listening to Super Game Stuff with Coke Logic. Perfect. I'm just reading this. That's what he told me to read. But really, you are listening.
Hello, my name is facebook.com/clubsodakenny, and you're listening to Game Stuff. It's none other than the great Coke Logic.
Ahoy hoy, and welcome to Super Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. And while that's not the last boom you'll ever hear, it's probably going to be the last boom you'll hear in a while, simply because of the nature of the video game industry. It's November, so all the games that I've talked about coming out have already come out, or they're about to come out within the next 5 days. So this kind of marks a change for the podcast format. Normally I would introduce myself, I would go into some news and game releases, followed up with a break with some sorely overplayed production pieces, and then I would interview someone from the industry, and then end the show with the Super Game Stuff True School Hip Hop video game review. But because it's November, news is going to tighten up because companies and game developers are not going to be announcing news while they're releasing video games. They're going to concentrate on pushing their product and promotion. And this will probably last until February. I think the first real major release, if you want to call it a major release, is Azura's Wrath, which is February 21st. But it's just the nature of the industry. And upcoming games are pretty much here. Battlefield 3 is out. Batman Arkham City is out. Dark Souls, out. Sonic Generations, out. Uncharted 3, you guessed it, out. And then here's what we have left. Modern Warfare 3 comes out November 8th, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim is November 11th, Super Mario 3D Land is November 13th, Assassin's Creed Revelations is November 15th, Saints Row the 3rd also comes out November 15th, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword comes out the 20th, and then you get a little break until The Old Republic comes out December 20th. So except for video game reviews, this podcast might be kind of dead for a while. But not dead permanently. We're not geek stuff here. I mean, I got all my equipment. Nothing got stolen. It's fantastic. So if you're wondering what the fuck, that's the fuck. One bit of news we can wring out of this rag of an industry. Grand Theft Auto 5 has been officially announced by Rockstar. A few days after the official announcement, the first trailer hit the internet. Grand Theft Auto 5 will return to San Andreas, but will focus on the city of Los Santos and the surrounding hill areas, countryside, and beaches. So it sounds like San Furio and Las Venture are not going to be in this game. Rockstar Games has promised that Grand Theft Auto V would represent a bold new direction in mission-based gameplay, storytelling, and online multiplayer. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, there's a great site I like to use, called Google. During the Grand Theft Auto V trailer, you can hear the voice of the protagonist, but it's loosely rumored that you'll be playing as multiple characters in this game. From what I gleaned from the trailer, you'll be playing as this 38-year-old ex-criminal type, and it's probably a red herring, but there's a young black kid running from the police dressed like CJ, and I think that'd be cool as shit if he was the other character. Because you'd have the old white man and the young black man, one's developing a city, one's being crushed under poverty. It'd be awesome. And with all the information the trailer did give us, the one thing they did not give us is a release date. If I was a betting man, and I am, I would probably guess August 2012. And you can quote me on that. Because when I'm right, it'd be really fucking impressive. Coming up next in this podcast about nothing, it's the True School Hip Hop Video Game Review, where I'm going to talk about Batman Arkham City and Sonic Generations.
You like talking sports? I like talking sports. It's the Davey Mac Sports Program XL on Sirius XM, live every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 in the West. Listen to me, Eastside Dave McDonald, rock the world of sports like it's never been rocked before in the history of radio. The Davey Mac Sports Program XL, every Saturday on the Opie and Anthony Channel, Sirius 206, XM 105. Let's do the dozen!
DJ Bloodshot, give me a beat! Excellent. So, in this True School Hip Hop video game review, I'm gonna talk about Batman Arkham City. A goddamn good game. And I'm not gonna spoil anything. And in fact, it's actually gonna be kinda hard talking about the villains in this game. Because one thing I've noticed is when you say a villain who is actually in Batman Arkham City, people go, "Oh, that wasn't announced. I didn't know that person was in this game. What the hell?" And they sound like that. They sound like assholes. But you know what? If you haven't played this game yet, the people who are actually in this game, they probably don't mean shit to you. There's a side mission where you hunt down an assassin named Deadshot. I don't know who the fuck that is. but Batman Arkham City is a direct continuation from Batman Arkham Asylum. Which, Batman Arkham Asylum, all the inmates ran amok, and I don't think they destroyed the asylum, but I think it was so ravaged by Poison Ivy and Joker and all this shit that they had to fence off a ghetto area of Gotham and make a portion of a city a giant pen for all these supervillains. So it's a really fantastic idea, because it's a big open world, and actually the world's not that big, but they have an open world environment and they don't have to worry about pedestrians and traffic and dogs and pigeons and all this shit. And that's the big difference from Batman Arkham City and Batman Arkham Asylum, is there's a big world to run around and fly around, and even though Batman doesn't fly, he glides. He glides around. Which at first I thought I would just fall in love with the fact that there's this big city and stuff, but there's part of me that actually prefers the linear story of Arkham Asylum. A story being presented to you and you going along a path. It felt a little tighter, I think. A lot of times in Arkham City, it would feel like all over the place, I guess. You would try to make it to one of the buildings to proceed in the main story, and then there would be a telephone ringing. So you go and try to answer the telephone, and it's a whole side mission with people being held hostage, and all along you're seeing Riddler trophies. And then all of a sudden a gunshot is fired out, and you see that someone's been hit, and you go over and inspect, and it's another side mission where you have to find out who the assassin is, and you got like three things on your plate all at once, and all you want to do is go and continue the main story. It's very scatterbrained. So if you can get over that non-existent problem of having too many options and having your cinema-like experience being ruined because you have too many things to do in a game, other than that, it's probably going to be, it's definitely a contender for Game of the Year. If anyone says, it's too much like Arkham Asylum, it's because they didn't fucking fix anything that wasn't broken. They just added to the game. They just made it more fucking massive. And if you want to say, well, which story is better, Arkham Asylum or Arkham City, it seems like a continuation of the story, so. The combat is fantastic. Batman pulls off these seemingly choreographed moments where you're like, well, yeah, I did the right button inputs there, but that didn't seem like I was even capable of doing that. Based on enemy placement, the direction you're pushing a button, and whether you're pressing the punch button or the counter button, there's pretty much 100 animations for beating up bad guys. That's what it fucking feels like. Even 20 hours into the game, not that the game's 20 hours, it's actually probably around 8 if you stick to the main story. But 20 hours into the game, hunting Riddler trophies and stuff, you'll still see animations that you haven't seen, and you're like, where the fuck did that come from? That was cool as shit. He did a backflip, and then grabbed the guy by the head, and then slammed him into the ground, then jumped over to the other guy, and fucking kicked him in the throat. The only fucking problem I got, I'm constantly too soon or too late. It's one of these games where they don't go like perfect or good. They just tell you when you're too soon or too late. I guess they're not going to throw up a warning if you're doing something correct. But I like to know like, okay, well that was what I was supposed to be doing. If I'm constantly throwing a punch too soon or too late, that doesn't help me with the feedback of what I'm supposed to be doing. Because there's an achievement to rack up a 50 point combo. I'm nowhere close to that. I'll get about 25. And I'll lose my streak because I threw a punch too soon. And it's like, really? I lost my streak because I was too soon? If anything, sooner's better. I know they want to stick to a rhythm-based fighting game type thing here, but I don't think I should be penalized for being too soon. It just means I'm fucking quicker at throwing a punch than the next guy. It's a good thing. A lot of supervillains in this game. Penguin, Joker, Mr. Freeze. Pretty much, think of a character, they're in it. Even characters from Arkham Asylum who are not opposing you in Arkham City this time around make a cameo. So it's nice, even though they're not going to be in the game like rehashing old battles, they're still making an appearance and saying, hey, we're still in this universe. But some of the supervillain battles are pretty lame. I mean, as much cool shit as you're doing fighting normal inmates in Arkham City, when it actually comes down to like, okay, here's the supervillain battle, it's lackluster, I guess. With the Penguin, you have to do a few things, but in the end, it ultimately boils down to running up and just punching the shit out of him. The Mr. Freeze is kind of cool because you have to attack him in about 5 or 6 different ways, not repeating the same way because he catches on. See, he's a smart guy. If you attack him one way, he'll remember. And then it's no spoilers to say Hugo Strange is in the game. I think he was the first character they announced. When you're going against him, you're not really against him. You're just taking out a couple of bad guys in the room, and then you walk up and you punch him. But maybe they saved all the cool ideas for when you're going up against Joker, which I will not spoil at all because it's really great shit. In fact, earlier, you know, I said what's better, Arkham Asylum or Arkham City storyline? I think I do like this story. I like the way Arkham Asylum's story was told in the first game, but I like this story in Arkham City better. The only thing I would change about this is the stupid fucking DLC with Catwoman. They cut her out of the game. That's what they did. It's not like they decided, well, some people would prefer Catwoman and some people would like a full Batman experience. No, they cut her out of the game. It was supposed to be Batman and Catwoman all along the process of promoting the game. They said how Catwoman comprises 10% of the game. She has her own trophies. What they did in the 11th hour was they cut her out of the game and said, if you don't buy this game new, you don't get to play as Catwoman. But if you buy the game used and you still want to play as Catwoman, well, that'll be a cool $10. Fucking retarded. It's like, what happens in 10 years when you pop and you're like, I feel like it's a retro night. I want to go play a 10-year-old game. But it doesn't work like an old Super Nintendo cartridge or a Genesis cartridge or anything like that, or a PlayStation game. So you go to use Game Store and you buy the game. You get home and you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Part of this game is not on the disc, so I can't even play it. And you know what? 10 years from now, they're not even going to have Catwoman on a goddamn server for you to download. So by not including it in the game, you're future fucking this game. Because 10% of it's going to be non-existent. You can't play it and you can't download it. Very smart decision. By that, I mean not smart decision, because I was using sarcasm. To quote a great man, dick in the ass. All of that being said, the sum of its parts, the accumulative score, 9 out of 10. Solid 9 out of 10. You should definitely buy it. If there's just too many goddamn games to buy and play now, at least rent it. Or come January, when you're bored shitless because all the games you just bought and played have already been played out and you need something else, remember this game. Remember Arkham City. Go back to it. What I'm saying is, it's one of those games where you should play it, or what the fuck are you listening to a video game podcast for? It's one of those mandatory games. And then very briefly, I'm going to talk about Sonic Generations. That's all you can really do with the game is go into it briefly. It's not very deep. If you're an old school Sonic fan that liked Sonic on the Genesis, where it was 2D, side-scrolling, run-as-fast-as-you-can platformer game, then Sonic Generations is what they've been striving to do. But what they did for Sonic Generations is there's 9 areas, and they're split up into 3 sections. 3 areas from the Genesis era, 3 areas from the Dreamcast era, and 3 areas from the current generation era. And it's great. It really is fucking good. I've heard people complain about it. I've heard people praise it. People are saying best Sonic game in a very long time. I'm saying one of the best Sonic games. 3 eras, 3 areas, and then for each level there's 2 ways to play it, 2D or 3D. And 2D is great. It's exactly what I want out of my Sonic games, 2D Sonic. But then 3D, it's not like they stick to 3D the entire level. It's actually very surprising how many times they'll just they'll switch to 2D camera angle while you're supposed to be playing this 3D Sonic area. It's almost like they said, you know what, fuck it, let's just give them what they want. So I would actually say maybe 80% of this game is a 2D Sonic game. Overall, it's not going to set the world on fire, but I personally think it's a great game. That's up there with the best of the 2D side-scrolling Sonic the Hedgehog games. I'm going to give an 8 out of 10. Just because if I'm going to give Batman Arkham City a 9 out of 10, I can't give this a 9 out of 10. Alright, compare the two games. Well, this one game that's near perfection is the same score as this other game that's just a bunch of nostalgia. So Sonic Generations, 8 out of 10. And that's going to do it for this oddball episode of Super Game Stuff. This show will continue, just not as often. This is Coke Logic signing off for Super Game Stuff.